Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and during the season of Advent and Christmas, we are going to be doing a sermon series called The Characters of Christmas. Roseanne introduced us to it using her artwork this morning. Each week, we're going to look at a different character from the Christmas story. Now, we all love the Christmas story, don't we? It's a beautiful and a moving and a powerful story, a story that is well known not just in the church, but outside the church as well. A story full of love and joy, peace and hope. And each Sunday we'll look at the story and look at a different character in the story. But just in case you have forgotten the Christmas story, let me remind you of it. We start off with a young couple who are engaged to be married, Mary and Joseph. And Mary receives a message from an angel that she is going to conceive a child. Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, and he is worried, he's concerned, and he's about to leave her, to divorce her, even though they're not really married yet, just to leave her. And yet he receives a message from an angel in a dream, explaining that this child is from God. And so Mary and Joseph stay together. They have to leave their hometown of Nazareth and go to Bethlehem because of a great census that is happening. And while they are in Bethlehem, it is time for Mary to give birth. There's no room for them in the inn. We know that famous phrase. And so she gives birth in a stable or a barn or a cave around the other animals and lays baby Jesus in a manger. That same night, an angel appears to shepherds out in the field and announces that the birth of Jesus has happened. And the shepherds come and they worship and they see this young boy. And sometime later, some wise men come from the east and bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, often we think of the Christmas story in this way, but it's actually two different stories in the Bible. There's one version in Matthew's gospel and another version in Luke's gospel. What I've done is mash those two together, and I think that's typically what we do when we think of the Christmas story. But today we hear from Luke's gospel, and we hear about the angels and the message that they have. But before we talk about their message and who they are, I want to focus on angels throughout the Bible and maybe give us a better picture of who angels really are. I heard the choir while we were talking about in the children's message. We don't really know much about angels. So part of my goal this morning is you will know a little bit more about angels after this morning. Angel, the word angel appears almost 300 times in the Bible. In fact, if it were a proper name, and you combined angel with cherubim, which is a specific kind of angel, I think there are only three names that occur in the Bible more than angel and cherubim put together. That would be Moses, David, and Jesus. Those are the only three names that occur more than the words angel and cherubim in the Bible. And yet, I think we often kind of gloss over, overlook, or forget the role of angels in Scripture. And yet they play a prominent role in many stories throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, for example, the story of Abraham taking his son Isaac to be sacrificed. Abraham ties him up and is ready to sacrifice his son, and it's an angel who calls out to him and says, "Hold on, wait, don't sacrifice your son, take this animal instead." When Moses goes up on the mountain and he sees this burning bush, it is an angel who speaks to him from the bush. I think we often overlook that. We think that it's God right there, but Scripture actually tells us that it is an angel of the Lord who speaks to him. One of my favorite stories from the Old Testament is in the book of Numbers. Balaam is going to curse the people of Israel, and he's riding on his donkey, and his donkey keeps not behaving for him, and it's because there is an angel blocking the path. And in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are sent into the fiery furnace, and an angel comes and protects them. Daniel, later in the book, is thrown into the lion's den, and an angel comes and protects him as well. Angels appear throughout the Old Testament, and they appear in the New Testament as well. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, spends 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting. At the end, he's tempted by Satan. And after he resists that temptation, angels come and tend to Jesus. They take care of him and nurse him back to health. Many of the parables and the teachings of Jesus feature angels as characters in the stories. At the resurrection, some of the accounts tell us that it's an angel who comes and rolls the stone away from the tomb so that Jesus can come out. It's angels who appear to Mary and to the others that Easter morning and tell them that Jesus is no longer there. Angels play a prominent role in the book of Acts as the church is expanding. Many of the early apostles have interactions with angels. Angels help them in their early ministry. And of course, in the book of Revelation, the word angels mentioned in that book more than any other. In John's vision of what is to be. Angels appear throughout Scripture. Now, the word angel is in two different languages in Scripture, in Hebrew in the Old Testament and in Greek in the New Testament. The Hebrew word for angel is malak. Malak. The book Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, simply means my angel or my messenger. The word malak means to send out, to dispatch, to send as a messenger. And the Greek word for angel is angelos. Sounds pretty close to ours, right? And that simply means a messenger. And so an angel is a messenger from God, someone who is sent on God's behalf for a purpose, often to give some kind of message. Now, angels have played an interesting role throughout the history of the church. In the Middle Ages, especially, there was a lot of lore around angels. Thomas Aquinas and Dante came up with this scheme of angels. They said that there were 9 different categories or orders of angels. You start off with the seraphim, who are mentioned in Scripture. They are the fiery angels mentioned in Isaiah chapter 6. And then the cherubim I think when we think of cherubim, we think of little fat babies with wings flying around like Cupid, right? But the cherubim in Scripture are described differently. They do have wings, but they don't look like little babies. So those two categories are specifically mentioned in Scripture. And then there are thrones and dominions and powers and principalities. These are categories that Paul mentions in his writings. It's not clear whether he's actually talking about angels or just talking about kind of authorities in the world. But in the Middle Ages, they took them to be different categories of angels. And then archangels and just kind of regular angels. Some of the archangels are mentioned in Scripture. Gabriel is mentioned in particular. Gabriel appears to both Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, and to Mary to tell her about Jesus. And Gabriel appears in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Daniel. Another archangel that's mentioned in Scripture is Michael. He's mentioned in the book of Revelation, in the book of Jude, and in one book in the Old Testament. I forget which one, but one of those. In the book of Tobit, which is not in our Scripture canon, but in the Apocrypha, Raphael is mentioned as an archangel. And then there's another book called 2 Ezra's, which is, I think the Ethiopian church accepts this book as Scripture, but another archangel mentioned is Uriel. Kind of the thought, at least in the Middle Ages, is that there were 7 archangels, 4 of those named, and then 3 others. But these angels are messengers of God. They are sent on God's behalf to offer some kind of message, to do something on God's behalf. And we see that in this story. Angels have already played a role leading up to this point. Joseph has had a dream in which an angel explained to him what was going on, why Mary was pregnant. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, had an angel appear to him, Gabriel, and predict the birth of John the Baptist. And then Mary, of course, was visited by the angel Gabriel and told her all that would happen. And then these angels appear after Jesus is born. You know, the story could have just as easily ended with Jesus' birth, right? We have all this leading up to it, and this is kind of the climactic moment that Jesus, the Christ, the very Son of God, is born. And that could have been the end of this particular story. But it wasn't. It was almost as if God was so excited, so happy, so pleased with this, that God just had to tell somebody else. God couldn't keep it to God's self. God had to share this good news with others. And so the angels come. First, one angel announces to the shepherds, and then a whole host of angels come and praise God. We all know that. We've all had that experience, though, haven't we, of something good, something exciting happening, and we just have to share it with other people, right? Everybody's experienced that. Maybe when you were in school, you got your test back or a paper back, and you got a better grade than you were anticipating. And so you have to share that with somebody. You get a promotion at work, or your boss recognizes something good that you've done. You get a new job, you find some success, your team wins in a sport, whatever it might be. We've all had these things that excite us, that make us happy, that we just have to share with other people. I've noticed in my Facebook feed recently some people sharing about Gilmore Girls. Any Gilmore Girls fans here? No, I think most of our Gilmore Girls fans are away this weekend. But a lot of folks are excited about this show. The show went off the air many years ago, and they've revived it, and it's on Netflix. And so people are just excited about the show that's back that they've loved. And so they're talking about it. They're sharing their thoughts about it on Facebook. My wife Nancy recently accepted a new job. She has been working at Forest Hills United Methodist Church, and she's going to go work at the United Methodist Publishing House. I happened to be at home when she got the call from the publishing house offering her the job, and so she was able to turn to me and tell me, and we hugged and we celebrated together. And then she got out her phone, and she called a couple of close friends, texted a few people that she knew she could trust not to share the news broadly because her church didn't know yet. So then she talked to her senior pastor, and then that Sunday, they announced at church, they made an announcement to everybody that she had accepted a position. And then she posted on Facebook so that everybody, the whole world, could know what was going on. She used all these different methods for sharing her news, right? She talked to somebody in person, she used technology, she made an announcement, all this different stuff. But when we think about the biblical times, they didn't have all these ways to get the news out. You really just had about three options if you wanted to share news. The first is to go and tell somebody yourself, right? So, I mean, you could walk, you know, to your neighbor next door or walk to the next village or whatever and share whatever news that you had. That's fairly labor-intensive, though, right? Especially if you're trying to share it with a lot of people. Another option would be to write it down and send it. But they didn't have the U.S. Postal Service back then. Paper was expensive and hard to come by. Many people couldn't read and write, and so that often wasn't a very practical option. So the third option was to send a messenger, to ask someone to go and share that news on your behalf. And that's exactly what God does with angels. God has something that God wants to share and sends angels to share that good news. And indeed, it is good news. The angels share that it's good news for all the people, for everyone, that God is coming into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. God is taking on flesh and dwelling among us. God is coming to hang out in our neighborhood to bless not just humanity, but all of creation. This is good news. News that is so good that God can't keep it to God's self. God has to share it. And so God sends angels to those shepherds on that night so long ago. Friends, as we prepare for Christmas during the season of Advent, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, may we be open to this same message from the angels. This good news that Christ is coming into the world, that God is choosing to identify with us, taking on our very flesh and loving us and being with us. May we celebrate and may we look for that peace that the angels promise. But even more than that, may we take on the mantle of those angels. May we not just have this news and keep it to ourselves, but may we share this good news with others. May we become God's messengers in the world. May we take this love that has been given to us and may we offer it to others. Yes, let us celebrate and rejoice at this good news from the angels, but let us become angels ourselves, offering the good news of God's love to others. Amen.